Today on There Will Be Crossbows, John plays leapfrog, but he does it wrong, resulting in major penis injuries. James is feeling froggy, mostly due to the fact that he's finally sprouted legs. And both of them dine on flies, but fail to use their eyeballs to help them swallow. All this and more on today's episode of There Will Be Crossbows, the world's first partially amphibious podcast.
And the beastly horde approach the castle gates as a ruinous multitude of malice, but the king was prepared. For the blue wizard had warned him. There will be danger, and there will be crossbows.
Hello and welcome to another episode of There Will Be Crossbows. My name is James, I'm one of your two hosts. How exciting to have you back with us again. This week's theme is frogs. Now I know that frogs is a pretty difficult concept to wrap your head around, so if you need to, please, before you listen to any more of this podcast, if you don't know what frogs is, go ask somebody. Go out on the street, find the first person you see, put a hand on their shoulder, look them square in the eye, and say, "Excuse me, good friend, what is frogs?" They'll be happy to provide you an answer. I would do it myself, but unfortunately, I just don't have time. I have to get on with the podcast. Okay, if we're all on the same page and everybody understands what frogs is, we can start the podcast by giving John a call. Hey, John, are you there?
James, I'm here. You sound like you're experiencing some emotions. What's going on there?
I wouldn't say that exactly. I just had a rough night of sleep. My puppy was keeping me up a lot of the night, and then I got visited by the three frogs again.
Oh, yeah. You told me that was happening.
Yeah, it's usually about once a month that they come, and basically three different frogs visit me throughout the night at various points of the night. They all kind of have a different angle. First, I usually get visited by the frog of affirmation, who just kind of whispers something positive to me. Later throughout the night, I usually get a visit from the frog of prosperity, who gives me minor financial advice. And then usually towards the end of the night, I get visited by the frog of doom, who tells me how I'm going to die.
That's really disturbing. Those first two, they actually sound pretty good. But that last one, I would not want to be visited by that frog.
I was super creeped out the first time it happened about 4 months ago, when he told me that I would be run over by a bulldozer when I was picking up a coffee lid. But the next month, when he visited again, he had a completely different death for me. He said that I fell out the fourth story of a window onto some prop spikes for an upcoming Indiana Jones remake. So I started to think that this frog is just full of shit, because how could I die different ways, right? He's just winging it, I think.
Either he is making this up and it has no basis in reality, or the fact that he has told you your fate is changing the timeline down the way. So your death is a moving target.
Oh, God. So he's telling me the most up-to-date way that I'm probably going to die.
I think that's okay, though, because that way you don't ever have to be really scared of what he says. Because as soon as that information is out of his mouth, it's already old hat.
Right, he's actually doing me a favor, because now I know to steer clear of whatever the latest threat is.
When I get visited by my, you know, sage amphibians during the night, they really don't ever tell me anything helpful or useful. You know, usually I get, like, the salamander of platitudes. It just says, like, stuff like you would hear from any generic random advice book.
I remember you telling me about the gecko of goodwill.
Which, it's always nice to hear positive reinforcement during the night, but it's not helpful in any specific way. And, you know, then I get the newt of aphorisms. So I kind of appreciate that you get some actual helpful advice from your frogs.
Well, helpful to a certain extent. I find it so random. The frog of prosperity, his financial advice is, again, extremely minor. It's things like, hey, you should consider switching your higher rate credit cards to a slightly lower rate and maybe refinance your student loans. But then the frog of doom comes in and then just drops it on me. Be like, this week, don't go ice skating because you will fall and somebody will slit your neck with a passing ice skate.
I didn't realize that the advice that the Frog of Doom was giving you was so specific. Like, that's actually very helpful.
It is, and I guess I've been creeped out by him, but I should be a little bit grateful that he's trying to save my life.
He's like a guardian angel frog.
Well, I was considering it an annoyance, but I'm realizing I guess we should be kind of lucky, you know, at least. Even if no one else has our back, we have three magical talking amphibians to guide us through our, you know, dilemmas at night.
On a related note, James, I'm really concerned that you are putting yourself into situations apparently every single month that could result in your untimely death. That seems really, really frequent for death.
But I haven't died yet in my life, not even once, not even one little time. Is he just describing the closest chance I have to death? Because obviously you'd have one of those every month, no matter how unlikely it was.
Okay, that's true. I mean, no matter how good you are at Russian roulette, it's still kind of a risk. I have died a couple times. I mean, thank God it didn't take. But if I could have avoided that situation, it would have been great.
Have you thought about talking to the Newt of Aphorisms and just tried to see if he would come up with a new shtick, something that would be a little bit more helpful to your daily life?
Every time I talk to this Newt, I just catch him as he's heading out the door. And I'm like, can you please give me some actual advice? And he looks back and he's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
He sounds like such a smug little bastard.
He is. And I say, can you please give me something I can use? And he says, a bad penny always turns up.
Yeah, God, you've only told me two things he said, and I already hate him. It makes me really appreciate the frogs more. You've really given me another way to look at this, and I do appreciate it. So, thank you. You know, I just needed some context on these little guys, because I just wanted to make sure the lack of sleep I'm getting was worth it. And I think it is. I think instead of a curse, this is actually really a blessing.
You know, that's very similar to something the Newt of Aphorisms told me.
Wake up. Come on, man. I know you had a lot to drink last night, but we got a big day ahead of us. Come on, snap out of it.
Oh, Luke, it's 4:30 in the morning.
I decided we're going to go on a road trip today. We're going to go to Vegas, man.
We're already in Reno. We could just stay here. It's pretty much the same thing.
We've been here for a week, man, and I'm tired of it. And I don't want to be crass, but the strip clubs, so much better in Vegas. Here, all the strip clubs are a bunch of people taking off their clothes. You're supposed to, you know, oodle and oddle them like they're some sort of zoo animal. And to me, that just creeps me out. In Vegas, they got strip clubs where you don't even have to look at anyone naked. They're so large, you can just go to the buffet and have a whole meal in the strip club without having to see any naked people.
Well, hell, sign me up for that.
All right, well, if you're sold, let's jump in the car. Look, I know you're severely hungover and only on 2 hours of sleep, but if you could drive the first shift, that would be great. It's only like a 90-minute drive, so the first shift is probably going to be the whole drive.
I am down. I should warn you, I woke up in the middle of the night just to drink a little more.
Later, after these two get pulled over, 7 minutes into their drive.
All right, you two. All right. Who was driving?
That would be me.
That's why you were in the driver's seat. See, that's always the first question I ask to see if people are liars. If the person who's not in the driver's seat says they were driving, they're liars. And then I put them in the big jail. I work for the big jail. That's how it works out here in Nevada.
I don't want to go to the big jail. I've been in a big jail before and it did not agree with me.
Hey man, we're just trying to get to you shut up. This doesn't concern you. I'm talking to the driver. If you say another word, you go into the big jail. Okay, driver. I'm going to ask you a few questions and I will let you off the hook if you answer them truthfully. But if you lie even once, you're going to the big jail and your friend's going to the big jail too. Understand?
I do.
All right. First question. You were swerving a lot on the road. Are you slightly intoxicated?
Oh, this is a hard one because I don't know how your definition of slightly matches up with my definition of slightly. Therefore, a misunderstanding could easily occur, which would end up with me going to the big jail.
All I want is for you to answer truthfully to the best of your ability.
Am I slightly intoxicated? I'm going to have to come down on the side of no.
I'll assume then that you're full out drunk, which is what I assumed to be the case by the way you were driving. So you answered the first question truthfully.
Oh, tough, man. I nearly crapped my pants just on that first question.
Two more, and then you've avoided the big jail.
Oh, this is worse than that time I had to answer those Sphinx riddles, which also, by the way, happened in Las Vegas.
All right, question number two. Why are you going to Vegas?
Oh, man, this is a hard one. Why are any of us going anywhere? I mean, is he looking for a surface answer, such as we're just going for the buffets? Or is he looking for something deeper, such as we didn't feel spiritually fulfilled where we were and we're off seeking adventure and new experience? Oh, man.
Give him something tangible. Tell him we're going for the strip clubs.
But are we going for the strip clubs? I mean, is that the ultimate truth?
Look, if you got to discuss it this much, I'm assuming you're going to lie to me, and I might as well just take you to the big jail right now. So, unless you want to cough up an answer, I'm about to cuff you.
Officer Dan, you have to understand, I'm a philosophy major. There's no such thing as one ultimate truth. Okay, I'm going to have to answer your question with, we are going to Las Vegas because there is an emptiness in our souls and our bodies.
I'm considering the veracity of your answer. I deem it to be true enough.
Thank goodness, I'm sweated through both my undershirt and my overshirt.
All right, final question before I decide whether or not to put you in the big jail. I am high, but cannot be seen. A rock that has no boundaries. Like a sea, I ripple. You only see me when you aren't looking. What am I? Oh, fuck. He's the goddamn Sphinx dressed as a cop.
Ah, you followed us, you motherfucker!
You have fallen for the spell of the Sphinx again. And now I shall take you to the big jail.
Today's episode of There Will Be Crossbows is brought to you by the Hippity Hoppity Don't Stop Pacemaker for Kids.
Does your child have abnormal heart palpitations? They need a pacemaker for kids. Pacemaker for kids. Pacemaker for kids. We make pacemaker for kids fun. What's that you say? Your kid has a normal heartbeat? Well, aren't you fucking lucky, you son of a bitch. My kid died. Not because of any heart-related things. He was eaten by pangolins. But he could have died when he was an elderly man after living a full life from an abnormal heart rhythm. And he never got that chance. So I started this company in memory of what he might have done. It's a very confused concept.
Dad, what are you doing?
I was just,
Why did you say I was dead?
Look, Brent, I was just trying to, sell this new product of mine. Look, I...
Dad, you're lying to those people.
All right, we're gonna call the commercial there. I gotta have a discussion with my boy about some things. So, hippity-hoppity, heart-paw, whatever the fuck it was.
It's the hippity-hoppity pacemaker for kids!
It's time for everyone's favorite segment, Amazon Product Reviews. This week, James sent me an 8-inch by 12-inch metal novelty aluminum sign for posting out front of my house. And this sign has a picture of a frog, and it says, Frog parking only. Violators will be towed, and towed is spelled T-O-A-D. Cute! So I decided to test this thing out, posted this sign out front of my house, and waited. I live on a pretty busy city street, so parking is kind of at a premium. Immediately, a human being parked in the frog parking spot. So then I had a conundrum. If I just ignore it and let it go, then my sign is absolutely worthless. So I had no other choice. I had to turn that particular driver into a toad. That was not too hard because I've been turning people into toads for years when they cross me. I waved my wand and poof, she's a toad. It's a little chilly outside, so I decided to bring her in, put her in a nice terrarium. Then I had the problem. I've got this Rogue car here. It was actually a Rogue. It, you know, the brand name. It was a Rogue. Way nicer than my car. So I decided this will be my car now. Pulled it in my garage. No sooner am I coming back out of my garage from parking this halfway stolen car, somebody else is pulling into the spot. My magic wand has been getting quite the workout. And the number of abandoned cars in my neighborhood is going up, as is the number of terrariums in my house. There are toads everywhere. After 1 week, I decided to take the sign down because nobody took it seriously and because I don't have any more room for terrariums in my house. The sign is cute, but ultimately ineffective, unfortunately. 1 star. By the way, anyone need a toad? I have some for sale.
Oh, thank God.
I've been held captive in some guy's house for about 6 months. He turned me into a toad and kept me in a tank. I just escaped. You have to help me.
Look, shouldn't you be in a cage or something? Let me go get the pet shop manager here.
How can I help you?
You got a talking frog on the ground. He's saying something about how he's trapped in his body and things like that.
Oh, talking toad, eh? Those cost twice the price.
Look, Mr. Manager, I definitely want to take a pet home today, but I'm just not sure I'm in for something that's going to talk to me. Give me just a couple minutes with this toad, and I'll get back to you, okay?
If you need me, I'll be brushing the hedgehogs.
I didn't realize you have hedgehogs. I like hedgehogs a lot more than I like toads. Look, mister, why couldn't you get trapped in a hedgehog's body? Then I would have gladly taken you home. I'm just not sold on the whole toad thing.
I don't want to be your pet. I want to return to my human life.
Okay, so what? There's some curse we have to break. You're going to make me kiss you, right?
I'm not saying yes, but I'm not saying no.
Now, is this a trick? Because you want me to think that kissing you is going to break the curse? When, in fact, you just want to be kissed?
Well, who doesn't want to be kissed?
I don't want to be kissed by a toad.
Well, I don't want to be kissed by a douchebag, but here we are.
You're being a little dodgy about this curse thing. Okay, I'll bite. How did you get trapped in a toad's body?
I was just driving along in my car, parked it, pulled out. All of a sudden, I'm a toad. You don't believe me? I'm going to hop back. You come with me, and we'll prove my story. I don't have anything to prove to you, but I'm going to prove it anyway. Come on, come with me.
All right. Mister, I'm just taking this pet outside the shop suspiciously. I'm not trying to steal him or anything. If I decide to keep him, I'll mail you a check.
No problem. If you need anything, I'm going to be over here pruning the pangolins.
Man, there's like 600 pangolins left in the world and you've got some here? That's fantastic. That's got to be highly illegal, but that's so cool. I might come back for a pangolin. All right, let's go, Toad.
You mind driving?
Okay, I'm just going to set you. Can I scoop you up and put you in the front seat here?
This is nice. This is a nice car. Let's just go to your house. Let's just drive home.
All right, if you want.
You can set me right next to your bed. I'll just be there in a tank. I'll give you little words of advice at nighttime. And one day, if you feel like kissing me, you can do it.
Wait a second. You've conned me into taking you home. I'll take you home. We'll make all that happen. We'll make a life together. But I got to be honest. I am going back for one of those pangolins and... if I find out they eat frogs, you're the first thing I'm going to feed it.
You have to kiss a lot of frogs before you take one home with you. But how do you know which is the one? You should say, I do too. Infuse your dating life with some math, and you'll be walking down the primrose path. Optimal stopping theory shows the way. No matter who you are, dating is tough. When do you settle down? According to math, 37% will land you in Happy Town. Guess how many people you might date, whether 16 people or 78. The first 37% automatically are turned down. So if you think you'll date 16, you take a pass on the first 6. And if you're dating 78, you tell 29 to hit the bricks. After you're done, you get a real good idea of what you like and your way is clear. Lock down the next one that's better than the rest, and that's your math dating fix. The first thing you might say is, John, what if there's someone awesome right away? I tell you it's possible that could be true, but you gotta stay in the game. The first few dates set up a baseline to allow your taste and preferences to align. When the best one comes along after that, keep them if they feel the same.
Well, that math may work for John. Listen to him and you won't go wrong. But my method differs in a big way.
Hear me out, I won't lead you astray. We're all looking for love until we find it. You can search mathematically if you don't mind it. But if all those numbers seem a bit pathologic, consider using deductive reasoning and logic. Think of your potential lover as a sound argument that you must defend to a reasonable extent. Using organized rules of inference, that's how you know when a match makes sense. First off, watch for circular dependency. That's when you try to begin from the end, you see? You've already envisioned the perfect mate, so you're just let down on every date. Secondly, build an argument that's sound. Make sure the conclusion is on solid ground. I like smart people. This person is smart. Therefore, they have a path to my heart. Lastly, don't create a false dichotomy. That's when you try to posit things as either A or B. They must be my soulmate or they're not worth a dime. Ignores growth that your relationship could have in time. So there you go, two distinct methods, math and logic, tried and tested. If you're still skeptical, you shouldn't have asked for dating advice on your favorite podcast.
I would just like to come over to the table and ask the lady and gentleman if everything is satisfactory for the meal tonight.
Yes, we are interested in a threesome. Thank you.
I'm sorry, that is not what I said. I was asking if the meal is to your liking, if the food is, copious and tasteful.
Everything he says is so sexy. I know, I'm going to unbutton my shirt right now.
I would ask you to keep on your clothes, but this is France, and it is okay here if you would like to get naked at the table. But I do have to make it clear. I am not looking for any sort of sexual interaction with you. I just want to make sure you have a pleasant evening.
Jacques, are you seducing the clients again?
No, boss. I swear to God, I not this time.
Oh, God, do you hear the two of them talking together? So sexy. I imagine they're probably going to start making out with each other any moment.
If you're not careful, you're going to be fired!
Boss, you wouldn't fire me. Come here, we're friends. Give me a kiss on the lips to show me that we are friends. Here, come here. Mwah, 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 mwah. We are friends, right?
Okay, we are friends. Fine. Put your tongue into my mouth and we will wiggle them together.
Oh, the sounds they make with their mouths. It's so appealing. This vacation was the best thing we've ever done together.
Well, Kermit, we all are a fan of your work here at Trader Joe's and would like to consider hiring you, but there is that employment question. How does one get sacked from a kids' show when you're such an iconic mascot?
Well, the thing is, when you're an iconic mascot and you're dating a pig, certain things happen in your personal life that can easily leak out onto social media.
The sex videos. Was that really you?
100% real. We are a committed couple, and the things we do behind the privacy of our own doors are our own business.
You qualmed my fears somewhat. Why Trader Joe's? You could get a job on an adult talk show. There's a lot of a big demand for adult puppets these days. You know, the Avenue Q-style puppets who swear and have sex with each other.
Yes, I did try that. They didn't want a children's star. I had the smell of wholesomeness on me, is what they said.
That makes sense. That's why Haley Joel Osment's career fizzled out, too. He also works here. He's working Register 7 right now, if you wanted to say hi.
I'm a huge fan of his work.
Kermit, I'm worried. If we hire you, it's just going to be weird having you work in one register, Haley Joel Osment work in the other register. We're almost going to become to that notorious Trader Joe's that just hires washed up children celebrities.
Oh, washed up. That one hurts quite a lot.
I'm sorry, but is there any other way to put it? You got yourself into a lot of trouble and got kicked off, a show that you were the star on.
Wait a second. I recognize you. You're one of those kids from Zach and Cody.
Keep it down, man. Look, I'll be honest. Everyone who works in this Trader Joe's is a washed up child actor. Even the ones who are doing fine now, like, you know, Dakota Fanning, she still works here.
This is exactly where I need to be. I'll just work this register right here next to Todd Bridges.
This episode of There'll Be Crossbows is brought to you by the brand new 2021 Tesla Amphibian.
Tesla Amphibian! It's for douchebags with too much money who also own a private island that they would like to drive to because they can't get an airplane flight anymore because they've been douchebaggy on too many airplane flights and the airlines will no longer take you, so you need a car that can drive you all the way to your private island, and that's why I invented the new Tesla Amphibian. You need to buy one so I can pay for things that I like, perhaps like a private island, which I enjoy driving to in my own Tesla Amphibian. By the way, they told me I only had to pay for this commercial by the sentence, so this commercial is only two sentences long. Buy an Amphibian!
Hey folks, it's James here with an Amazon product review. This week, John sent me the Three Rivers Amphibian Grow a Frog Kit. This kit gives you everything you need to grow your own frog from a tadpole. It even gives you the tadpole. I didn't realize you could buy live animals on Amazon, but I guess frogs are barely alive enough to count. So now I have one. Exciting. The kit was super easy to understand, and to get started, you have this little tadpole, and he just needs a little bit of water and light and food, and eventually your tadpole, you know, starts to metamorphosize, I guess is the word, into a frog. This happened alarmingly quickly, as in like 3 hours, and this thing went from tadpole to full-ass frog, and I was like, whoa, I got a full-ass frog now. It was a small frog, about the size of a dime or so, but it happened really quickly. I left it alone for a few hours just because, you know, give the frog some privacy, and when I checked on it again, the thing was as big as, like, a baseball. It was growing with alarming pace. I was starting to get a little worried. Sure enough, by the first evening, the frog was almost filling the entire tank. And this was a 20-gallon tank that came with the kit, so the thing was big. At this point, I put the thing in the guest bedroom, and I went to sleep, hoping that it would just, you know, be alive in the morning. When I went to check on it, it was gone. There was a hole in the side of my apartment wall as big as a Humvee, so I just kind of, you know, pretended like nothing had happened. Well, that night on the news, I saw what had happened to my frog. He was wreaking havoc in downtown Chicago, now about the size of a baseball stadium. It was a total disaster. He had kind of crawled up the side of the Sears Tower, and old-timey prop planes were flying around him trying to, you know, shoot him down. I couldn't watch how this thing resolved. I mean, I grew this thing from a tadpole. He was basically like a child to me. Anyway, I think that this product is good, but it's a little bit more than I bargained for. I'm gonna go 4 stars on the Grow a Frog kit. And please don't tell Mayor Lightfoot that I'm responsible for all of this property damage.
Jethro, I've been thinking about moving to the big city.
What? You can't leave the damn swamp.
Jethro, you can come with me. We're going to Los Angeles, to Orange County, where we can spend your mother's insurance money on a mansion and live, as they say, high on a hog.
I didn't realize that was an option. Well, fuck this bog. I'll come with you right now. I hate the swamp. If we could have a mansion in Orange County, sign me up.
Consider yourself signed up, Jethro. All right. Now, all we got to do is release these carnivorous pangolins in our house, and they will take care of your mother's corpse.
Are we just going to leave them here once we're all done with that to, you know, populate the swamp, or should we be taking them with us?
Oh, no, Jethro, we cannot take pangolins to Orange County. That is not their natural habitat.
I think they'd blend right in. They could make some TV show about pangolins living in Orange County. It's better than half the stuff I see on the tube.
I have completely 180'd my previous statement. We are taking those pangolins as soon as they're finished devouring your mother.
We go to a TV show podcast. So on last night's episode of Pangolins in Paradise, we just got to talk about it, right? I did not expect it to go down like that.
I can't believe it. I realize it was the season finale, so something big needed to happen. But the fact that they completely devoured Jethro, I didn't see it coming.
I thought that he would be the one person who would be safe, you know, got that plot armor on. But I guess the producers felt like he had run his course and they needed somebody to feed to the pangolins.
I was so sorry to see him go. He was just developing a relationship with Emma Watson.
I think it's cool because it sets up a situation where they're going to have to euthanize the pangolins. But pangolins are, you know, so protected right now that it's going to be a really compelling kind of back and forth for season two.
We go 1 year ahead to this same podcast at the end of season two. Oh my God. Wild. Bloodshed. Literally everybody was eaten by pangolins. Even the pangolins ate each other. Nothing left. Complete ground zero.
I cannot wait to see where they go from here.
All right, friends, I don't know about you. Like, I like frogs as much as the next person, but I've had enough of those slimy little fuckers to last me for a few weeks, so we're going to go ahead and kill the episode here. Thank you so much for listening today. If you liked the episode, tell a friend. We would love to have them listen, too. You can come hang out with us on Facebook at the Crossbow Club, where we post videos and have fun conversations that you don't want to miss out on. And if you've never heard of a pangolin before today's episode, look them up. They are the most trafficked animal in the world. And if you're the type of person who likes to donate to good causes, go to savepangolins.org and consider helping in their conservation efforts. All right, until next time, have a good week.